Moncrief on News Talk.
It is a cliche of journalism that when somebody lives to a substantial age, say 100, a journalist will inevitably ask what their secret is to a long life. And they may well come up with regular sex or laughter or a shot of brandy every day, but do older people really know how they survive so long? Richard Farrar is Professor of Biogerontology at the University of Brighton. Good afternoon, Richard.
Good afternoon to you.
Is there even from the study of gerontology, is there kind of a smoking gun, if you like, that you can point at and say, yes, it's that makes people live older?
I think you've got to break this down into two different categories. There are the exceptionally long-lived people, what we call centenarians, and then there's the rest of us. And what's clear is that centenarians are exceptional. Either they're exceptional genetically or they're exceptionally lucky. But what follows from that is that you probably shouldn't take their advice, because if they're genetically exceptional, it won't work for you. And if they're exceptionally lucky, it probably won't work either. You know, if somebody smoked 60 cigarettes a day and has been sufficiently lucky to never contract cancer through their whole life, that doesn't mean that you're going to be fine lighting up.
Yeah.
More interesting is actually the advice for the ordinary people. And there we do have some clues.
Okay.
There's a lot of work that shows that about 4 out of 5 behaviors will add about 14 years to your life expectancy compared to somebody who does none of these. And the behaviors are watch your weight, take regular exercise, drink moderately, abstain, but don't get drunk every night, get your 5 a day, and don't smoke.
Yeah, okay. And would you have to do all of those, or, you know, maybe 4 out of 5?
Any four from five.
Okay.
But my advice with anybody with smoking, I'm afraid, is if you smoke, do any dangerous sport you want. You know, go swimming with sharks, base jump, because nothing you'll ever encounter in your life is probably as dangerous.
And the interesting thing that when they've done research into people, centenarians, that many of them did have or do have terrible habits in the sense they're certainly not doing the 4 out of 5 things you recommended there.
Absolutely. If you look at centenarians, about 60% of them in one study are heavy smokers. About 50% of them are overweight. Hardly any of them do any exercise. And the thing that keeps them alive so long is that they remain healthy.
Yeah.
That's why they're so long-lived.
So when you say they're incredibly lucky, then there is a cohort within this of people who it isn't necessarily a genetic advantage. They've just somehow managed to dodge, you know, the disease bullets of life, so to speak,
yeah,
to use a terrible metaphor.
What we think is going on is it's probably a combination of the two. So dodging a bullet and having a genetic endowment that makes you incredibly tough are not mutually exclusive.
Mm. The genetic advantage, does that run in families? If you have a parent
who lives... It certainly seems to. And where genetic research has been done with centenarians, it has been looking at those centenarians where we know they come from long-lived families, they've got children. And you can also look at the lifespans of, say, their husbands or wives, because, of course, they live in the same environment, but they're genetically distinct.
Yeah.
And there are some clues that suggest that certainly for some centenarians, there are genetic advantages.
Yeah. And is socialization important of any of this? Because, you know, one does hear this a lot.
Mm. Yeah, this is actually really interesting, because a lot of trying to unpick this runs into something, has a flashy name in the field, which is known as reverse causation. So it's clear that if you have a good circle of friends, if you're well socialized, you're doing pretty well. But I've just had surgery. Normally I would be at the gym 4 days a week. I haven't seen anybody. All right. And so ill health drives withdrawal from your social connections. So when you see somebody who is healthy and socially connected, you get a chicken and an egg situation. The one I like most, which may make listeners here smile, is occasionally you'll see reports where they'll look at diets of centenarians and say, these exceptional older people seem to eat a Mediterranean diet. And then when you look at the population, they live in Greece and Italy and Sardinia.
Yeah.
And of course, if you look at the population of centenarians in Ireland, now brace yourself for this because this is going to be news. They often drink Guinness like balm brack and are partial to a bit of an Ulster fry in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. Indeed. Yeah.
So, you know, there's a certain amount of healthy skepticism about habits.
Yeah. Richard, thanks very much for speaking with us. I hope your recovery is going well from surgery and you're back in the gym in no time.
Not at all. Pleasure talking to you.
You too. That was Richard Farraher there, Professor of Biogerontology at the University of Brighton.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.